dry bones. Some of you have heard this vision of Ezekiel's from as far back as you can remember. David and Chris just sang the story so powerfully. Not the story, the essence of it. And some of you may remember that other song that's kind of fun to sing about the head bone connected to the neck bone connected to the shoulder bone, and on we go. Kind of a fun song to sing. But the background of this vision of Ezekiel's is anything but fun. It has to do with total devastation. The nation of Israel had been invaded by the Babylonians, and their capital city, their Washington, D.C., Jerusalem, was a total loss. And as one historian puts it, cannibalism and sacrilege were the twin horrors stalking the streets of destroyed Jerusalem. And the people of Israel were deported en masse to this remote place called Babylon. The book of Ezekiel, with all of the wild visions and prophecies recorded in this book, are from those days following Jerusalem's destruction and Israel's captivity in Babylon. And reading through Ezekiel, this very challenging and often very strange book to read, there's a theme that comes up again and again and again, and we'll hear it in today's text. And it's this: then you will know that I am the Lord. God was angry. God was furious about Israel's unfaithfulness and about their idolatry and his destruction and being taken away into captivity had everything to do with their unfaithfulness and idolatry. They had forgotten God. They had forgotten what God required of them. They had forgotten the words from that other prophet, Micah, who said, "What does the Lord require of you? What does he require? But to act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And therefore, repeatedly through this book is, "Then you will know that I am the Lord." In chapter 37, Ezekiel shares a vision that's directly tied to this devastation and to this deportation. I like the way that the beginning of this vision is rephrased in the message. God grabbed me. God's Spirit took me up and sat me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around and among them. A lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones, bleached by the sun. He said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And that's the question. Can these bones live? These bleached out, dried up, dead, devastated bones, can they live? Can God take something with no life, no hope, something with a shattered past and a dried up present and a hollowed out future and give life? Can he give breath, skin, hope to things, to people where these have been obliterated? That's the question. So let's listen to the text. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. prophesy, Son of Man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, Son of Man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned a little bit ago, Sid and I just returned from California this past week. We were there to study and to pray and to wander in God's creation and to wonder at God's creation and to breathe deeply. At the front end of our trip, we arranged to go to a safe house for teenage girls who have been trafficked. It's called New Day for Children. It's a large, remote ranch. It's in an undisclosed location in the mountains about 5 hours from Oakland. So I've got a couple pictures of it up here. We drove to a coffee shop and we were picked up by John and Kathy. John is the CEO of New Day for Children. And Kathy is the spokesperson who goes out to churches talking about this ministry. It was Kathy and her husband, Paul Wilson, who Sid and I heard at a pastor's and spouse retreat about 4 years ago, and our hearts were pierced about human trafficking, Sid's especially, and it was out of that that we formed this task force called Daybreak here at Bloomington Covenant Church. Kathy was in the van with us as we rode on the way out to this ranch in the mountains for girls who've been trafficked. During those hours on the road, we heard detailed, graphic stories about the girls we'd meet. Horrendous, horrific things that I won't go into here. Some of you know these stories and how awful they are, how young people are sometimes simply taken by handlers and they go off the grid. Many are never rescued, but some are. And some are like these girls at New Day for Children. Whenever there's a sting operation by the FBI in the U.S., and according to the FBI, Minnesota is the second highest place for trafficking of girls, one of the first calls made by the FBI is to John Blankmeyer at New Day for Children. We've rescued some girls. Do you have room? Detailed interviews happen, arrangements are made, and sometimes parents or guardians bring these girls to New Day for Children. When we were there, there were about 10 girls, but calls come in almost every day. Some stay for a few days, some for a few years. And while they're at New Day, they're given the opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ and what it means to have new life in Him. They also go to classes and they can get their GED, finishing their high school requirements. It is a safe place, a stable place. For some of the girls, it is the only safe and stable place they've ever known. One of the girls there had just graduated. She'd been at New Day for about 3 years. She was about 18, which means that she was rescued when she was about 15. After having been trafficked for a few years. Think about that for a while. When we left to drive back to Oakland, she went with us. And in the gravel parking lot before leaving the ranch, these girls swarmed around her with tears and hugs and notes. It was so tender and tearful and so loving. These are girls. We brought this girl to a home. and to a church that was going to be her new home and her new church, a place of a new beginning. When John and Kathy took us on a tour of the ranch, we toured the dorms. This was on one of the dormitory walls. Words from these girls, but we are healed, we are created, we are loved, we are fierce. Powerful statement. But we also stopped in a large room with couches and tables and bookshelves and games, a youth group room. We stood there for a long time hearing about what happens when girls arrive and the flow of the days and the weeks and how they get to know each other. And two things out of that conversation stand out for me. One is that when these girls arrive, they meet with a professional counselor and staff, and they are asked to tell with as much courage as they can their whole story. But just once. Just once. And the point is this. They want these girls to know that their story, their history, these awful things that happened to them by other people, that's in the past. That's not their primary identity. Their primary identity is now and where they're going in the future. The other thing that stands out for me from that conversation is the metaphor that John used. He pointed to a foosball table in this room. And he said, see that table? See how flat and hard it is? That's how a lot of these girls are when they get here. They're flat and hard. They've had so many terrible things happen that they end up going there, flat, hard, no emotion, no tears, no laughter, sometimes no eye contact, no words, no nothing. And then we begin the long, long and hard process of gently, persistently loving them with the love of Christ. And letting them know that they are safe, that they are loved, and that nobody's going to hurt them. But he said they often come in just like that. Can these bones live? Can God take people who have been thoroughly brutalized, with a shattered past, a dried up present, and a hollowed out future, and bring life? Can these bones live? Can he give breath, life, skin, hope to people where these have been peeled away and crushed? In Ezekiel's vision of those skeletal remains out in the valley, even though they were dried up and dead, they had a voice. And they said, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. There's nothing left of us. Think of all the people who may think and say that very same thing. And not just people at New Day for Children, but people in our lives, people in our neighborhoods, people at work or at school, people in our culture. I'm dried up. Hope is gone. I'm cut off. There's nothing left. But here's what God says, paraphrased in the message. God says, watch this. Check this out. I'm bringing the breath of life. I'm bringing the breath of life to you, and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you and put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive, and you'll realize that I am God. Yeah. Dry bones can live again. I've seen it. So have a lot of you. People who are without hope, without joy, stuck in lifeless patterns, no sense of a living God, no sense of forgiveness or reconciliation, nothing outside of a sense of bitterness that they carry. The lights come on. New breath comes into them. And their hearts are warmed and their eyes are opened and something new happens. New life begins. It's the breath of God blown over dry bones. It's the Holy Spirit at work. I've seen it in marriages whereby all the evidence, all the history, all the pain, there's nothing left. Nothing. Rephrasing verse 11 in our text, it's like this. Our marriage is dried up and our hope is gone. We've cut each other off and there's nothing left of us. And then sometimes something new happens. Genuine submission to God and each other, humility or repentance, sacrifice on both sides, and the long, hard work of reconciliation, it begins. And new life comes back to a dead marriage. It's the breath of God blown over dried bones. Dried bones can live again. Sid and I saw this at New Day for Children. Young people at different stages along the way who are alive again. With a long way to go, but they are alive again. And if God can bring new life, new hope, new laughter, new joy, new relationships, new fun to these young people who have been so utterly violated at such a formative point in life, God can do it with anyone. Dry bones can live. Here's how Paul put it in what we heard earlier from Romans 8. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. Although this does point forward toward heaven and toward that final resurrection promised to all who know Jesus as Savior and Lord, what Paul describes is not only about heaven. It's also about new life today, about resurrection power today. It's about the fact that our God is a creating, life-giving God today. And that He comes to us. He comes alongside of us. He enters into us and breathes new life with flourish. It's like what we sang just a few minutes ago. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy flows. Unending love, amazing grace. God is greater than whatever may be drying up your bones. Your joy, your hopes. God is greater than whatever fears may be tightening your chest and aching your brain. God is greater than whatever doubts are causing you to second guess Him and to hold back from Him. God is greater than anything you carry in your past or your present. Anything. However hurtful, shameful, or hidden. God is greater than all of that. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised Jesus from the dead, who's alive forever. And He can raise us from the dead. Dry bones can live. It's what God does by the Holy Spirit. And so we come to the Lord's table today. And this meal is all about dry bones living. It's called the resurrection. It's about the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, who took the sins of the world upon Himself, our sins upon Himself, to release us into abundant life, free life, and eternal life, all out of His mercy. This table is all about that. It's about the resurrection that we're promised through Him by faith after our lives here are over, and we go to live with Him forever. But it's also about resurrection right now, about dry bones living again. How dry might your bones be? Where do you need Him to do a new thing? Maybe you don't even know, but there's maybe a gnawing at work in you. And where have you been saying no to the Holy Spirit's yes? As you come forward today, or if you remain in your seat, and when you go to the kneeling rail for prayer, simply invite Him to breathe His Holy Spirit in you, to breathe freshly upon you, upon your life, upon your family, upon your marriage, upon your children, upon your parents, upon the people around us here in this group today called the church. Ask Him to blow His life in you that you may be a powerful witness to dry bones walking again. God says, watch this. Check this out. I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God and I can do all things. Let's pray. God, now as we come to receive from you the bread, the cup, remembering the whole story of Jesus and his crucifixion and his resurrection, we come in faith, we come in anticipation. And Lord, I pray that we would each come with total openness to what you are doing. We pray this all in your name. Amen.